Okay, good morning. Today is Friday, so it's not a normal day that I record a shir. But today's daf Samach Baba Metzia, and we start the new Perek, Ezu Neshech. Because Ezu Neshech is the fifth Perek Baba Metzia, it's all about interest, and it's considered arguably one of the most difficult prakim in the whole of Shas. Okay, so we'll obviously try and get through it as easily as possible and make things as simple as possible. But I think it is worthwhile having a short introduction on what the chapter is all about. We're discussing ribbit, which is interest. Now, in the Torah, I'm just going to give a very few-minute introduction, which is based primarily on the introduction to the chapter from the Hebrew art scroll Gemara. Okay, the English art scroll is very brief, but the Hebrew one has a very long introduction. I've taken out the major points. Just give a quick introduction on the chapter. So Ezu HaNeshech, as we said, the fifth chapter of Bava Metzia, which basically starts off with the question of what is interest. Okay, we know that from the Torah there are a couple of Isurim on interest. A lot of them are Doraita, but I think we'll find as we're going along the Perek that there's a lot of Isurim of Durabanan. If the rabbis broadened the whole concept of ribbit to include a whole lot of other things. Okay, so when the Mishnah starts off and says, what are the examples of ribbit? Ezu neshech, ezu tarbit, they talk about two different concepts. There's neshech, which comes from the word of like in shoch, to bite, and there's tarbit, which comes from the word to add, lerabot, to add. So it really is looking at interest from two different perspectives. The lender who is receiving the money, here we go again, I always make this mistake. The borrower who is receiving the money, so he or she is really being bitten. So that's the neshech. And the marbit, the lender who's giving the money, he or she is benefiting by getting more. So there's neshech v'tarbit, right? Depending from which perspective we're looking at it. Now what's interesting here is that the psukim that the Torah speaks about are spread out. The psukim in Shmot, which both of them come from Parashat Mishpatim, which is most of the laws of business dealings, which we've seen already many times. In our previous prakim, we've all come all about Kefil and Arba and Chamesh, 4 and 5, on stealing and the Shuas, all the psukim of Mishpatim. So here too, again, we've got two psukim of Mishpatim. Right, you can't be a person who takes interest. And Lo Tisimun Labnesh, don't put interest on the person. Right, those are the two psukim from Mishpatim. Then we've got in Vayikra two psukim as well. Kaspacha lo titen lo beneshech. Don't give your money with interest. Uva barmit lo titen ochlecha. Don't charge for your food. Don't charge additional amounts of ribbit when you give a person food. We'll see just now more examples about that. Right? And then al tikach mito neshech v'tarbit. Another issue in Vayikra as well. Don't take neshech or tarbit. So we see the Torah uses neshech v'tarbit here and two types of terms. Okay, now there's also an issur on the love, on the person who's receiving the loan. He can't put himself in a position where he's forced to pay interest. It's in Dvarim. Torah says, "Lo tashich l'achicha." Right? Don't put your situation in a position where your friend, your brother, is lending you money on ribbit. So we see there's also an issur here on the love. Okay? And then there's another issur, which is much broader, also back in Vayikra, and that is livnei velotel michshol. You can't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. Now, this whole concept of a stumbling block is putting people into a position where they fall into a trap, where they're over an avera. So we see a very broad range of laws here governing ribbit. And what comes out of this is, we'll see in the Gemara as well, in the Brot Lahalocha, is that anybody involved in the transaction of a loan incurring interest is over on these averas. The malve, the person making the loan himself, the love, the person receiving the money, all the people involved, if they're witnesses to this contract, if there's a sofer who writes the contract, if there are agents involved, okay, if there are people, brokers, or in people who introduce you one to the other, every person here is involved in this issue of ribbit. So it's not a simple story of just the person making the loan. In this case, even the person receiving the loan and all the parties involved in that loan as well. Now, there's an interesting opinion here, and according to some, there's a machloket. But for our purposes, it's good enough to understand the different approaches. The Rambam places Hilchot Ribbit, right, in Dinei Mamonot. He puts it there in, I actually made a note here. I looked through it. The Rambam puts it in Sefer Mishpatim. Okay, Malve Velove. So he considers it straightforward Mamonot. The Shulchan Aruch, okay, he puts it in Yerodeah. Yerodeah is dealing with Isurim. Yerodeah is Nida and Basar V'Chalav and Melich and all those sorts of Isurim, not in Choshen Mishpat, which would be more of a monetary approach. So we see a difference in approach here between the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch of what Ribbit is all about. Okay, now another point we'll come across in the Gemara as well is there seems to be an opinion that Ribbit is almost like stealing, right? That Ribbit is almost like Gezel, okay? And there's an opinion that if the Torah hadn't written Gezel as an issue, we would have learned it from Ribbit. Now that's not accepted, and there are opinions that it's not like Gezel. The obvious differences between Ribbit and Gezel are that Gezel, obviously the person who's Nigzal, who it was stolen from, he's not chayiv in anything, right? We're here, the guy who's involved, the lover, is also chayiv. Secondly, more importantly than that, Gezel, there was no parties to them, no agreement here of the parties. Where with Ribbit, both sides agreed. So you can't say that it's like stealing if there was consent between the two parties. However, there is still an opinion that it is like Gezel. The question here arises as well, is if there's an agreement of Ribbit, and it's Isur, it's an Isur, is the Ribbit owed? Does the person who agreed to pay interest halakhically have to pay it? Or is the Ribbit basically an Isur, and therefore you can't enter into an agreement which is an Isur from the Torah, and therefore you part from the Ribbit in the first place? Can Beit Din make you pay the Ribbit? On the other hand, if you paid the Ribbit, can Beit Din force you to pay back the Ribbit? Now, we'll see that is lahalocha, by the way. For example, with stealing, if you steal something, Beit Din can make you pay it back. So too with Ribbit. The difference here, again, is that with stealing, if you stole an object, you have to give the object back. With Ribbit, if you charge the guy Ribbit, let's say a gold watch was his payment, you don't have to repay the gold watch, but you have to pay back the money for the value of the gold watch. So we'll see the difference coming about there as well. Now, another important point is, there are different types of Ribbit, right? As we mentioned, Neshech and Tarbit, depending on the perspective. There's also Ribbit Dvarim, okay? Which is not only money. Also, if you suddenly behave nasty to a guy because he lent you money, or if you do him a favor, or if you inform him about a good deal that's happening, all these things could be considered Ribbit as well, okay? Because you're giving him a benefit for the fact that he made a loan to you. Now, from the Torah, in our Torah, we'll see that Ribbit is only Chayev when it's Ribbit Tzutza, when it's a defined amount of interest made at the moment of the loan. Okay, so if there's suddenly, later on in the loan, there was a non-interest-bearing loan that you gave, and halfway through the loan, the guy comes and says, I'm having problems, and you renegotiate the loan, and suddenly you give him an extension for Ribbit. The question is, was it at the time of the loan? Is it a new loan? We'll see all those principles as well. Okay, then as a result of that, so because the Torah is so specific about tzutza, there are obviously many loopholes over here, and there's haramat ribbit, can you get around things, can you do things in a way that you don't do them? Okay, we'll also see that obviously we know today that you can put money in the bank. We also know you can go into deals where there's profits. So how does this all work? The Torah is speaking there, the Chachamim came with the whole facility of iska. That is considered iska. And if you invest with somebody, so you don't give him the money to get back interest. It's considered that when you gave him the money, that you went into a partnership. And half or a third or quarter, whatever it's agreed upon, of the money you gave him as a loan. And the other half is your money, which he's investing for you. And then when you get back the proceeds, you aren't getting interest, you're getting a share of the profits. We'll see that as well. There's the heter iska, because what's important here is if you're not paying him for his work, then that could be considered a ribbit, even though you're splitting the proceeds between the two of you. One other point I wanted to mention here, we discussed it many times in our shroom up until now, the concept of se'ah b'se'ah. If you lend him a commodity for a commodity and the prices go up or down, or if there's a forward contract, right? So then if you're selling somebody something and you're basically paying him in advance, so then if you're paying him in advance, you're giving him an amount, because if the price goes up or down, it won't change. Chamin said, as long as he's got the proceeds, the stock in his warehouse at the time, it might be okay. Or if there's a dedicated amount, if there's a market price, and he could have bought it at that time, it would also be okay. We'll see that as well with regards to some sort of sale and leasebacks, options on contracts, how contracts will be made up for if you aren't able to pay, etc. All these issues will become a lot clearer in the chapter. Good Shabbos.